Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we meditate on our gospel reading from Matthew 6 that we've just heard, so we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings to us in this life, including the blessing of your word, which teaches us, instructs us, encourages us, affirms us, sometimes challenges us, and we thank you for every part of that word, including the word you've given us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we pause to thank God for the harvest, for the land we live on and work on, for its produce, for the sun that shines, for the rain that falls, and for every blessing of body and soul that God has given to us, although we have not deserved them. It's an important thing. An important thing to pause and give thanks, and yet it's something we often forget to do or find hard to do for different reasons. Today, Jesus addresses what I think is one of the great impediments to a life of gratitude, a life of giving thanks, and that is worry. Worry. Are you a worrier? Many of us are. Or at least can be at times. So today I want to think about the nature of worry, the reasoning of Christ concerning worry, and the kingdom of God that we're called to strive for as we leave our worries behind. Firstly, the nature of worry. Max Lucado tells a story about a man who used to worry so much that he decided to hire someone to do his worrying for him. He found a young man who agreed to his terms and conditions and offered him $200,000 a year to do his worrying. The man accepted. His first question to his new boss was, "Where are you going to get the $200,000 a year to pay my salary?" To which the man replied, "I don't know, that's your worry." So what is worry exactly? Worry in the Bible is usually that kind of restless or anxious or disproportionate concern regarding the things of this world, things that are temporary. It's usually both unhealthy and unproductive. And if you think of Martha, in contrast to Mary, she's said to be worried and distracted by many things when only one thing is needed. When Paul writes to the Philippians, he criticizes them for worrying too much about their lives and praying too little about their lives. Jesus today gives two examples of things we worry about. The first is what we eat and drink. The second is what we wear. I want you to think for a moment about how much of our lives revolve around these two things. Eating, drinking, dining in, dining out. Shopping, preparing, cooking, dieting, watching cooking shows on TV. It's a fair bit of time, mental energy we spend. And then you've got clothing, shopping for it, trying it on, paying for it, returning it if it doesn't fit. The brands and the fashions and the colours and matching and the whole thing. A lot of time, a lot of energy given to these things. Now you might be thinking, sure it's easy for you, Pastor Ben, you wear the same white dress every week. The other 6 days of the week, I have to choose too, right? And we spend a lot of time and energy, money, on these things. What we worry about is a window into what we prioritize, and what we prioritize can easily become false gods in our lives. Things we look to, turn to, run to, seek after, give our desire and affection and worship towards, if we're not careful. Our priorities can become false gods. Before we look at how Jesus addresses those things, addresses those worries, just one more comment on the nature of worry. Just occasionally in the Bible, the word worry is used positively. And it's used positively when it's talking about a deep care or concern for others, for other people. So Paul tells the Corinthians, for example, for there to be no division in the body of Christ, all its parts should have equal concern or worry for one another. Same word, different context. C.S. Lewis also speaks more positively about worry when he says this. Some people feel guilty about their anxieties and regard them as defects of their faith, but I don't agree. These are afflictions, not sins. And like all afflictions, they are, if we can take them as such, our share in the passion of Christ. So even when it comes to worry and when it comes to anxiety, we need to be really careful because not all worries and anxieties are created equal. They are different in their nature and how we should distinguish them. Many people, you would know people, you may be a person who suffers from a lot of anxiety, even an anxiety disorder. These are very real things, they're very real afflictions, and they're things that need to be handled very carefully. Some worries are just closer to the heart of God than other worries are. So the nature of worry is perhaps a little more complex than we might initially think. When it comes to what we might call more worldly worries or daily worries, the type of worries that Jesus is addressing in Matthew 6, this is how he reasons with us. This is how he encourages us to think them through. Look at the birds of the air, he says. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? Look is the first thing Jesus says. Look. Because worrying usually comes from and is fed by a lot of inward looking. Looking at ourselves, looking at our own life. Jesus says, look outside yourself, look at something different to your own life and take encouragement from there. Firstly, look at the birds of the air. Now, Luther says the birds preach to us and they sing to us and they want us to believe. Because Jesus says the birds are an example, not of idleness, not of doing nothing, but just of freedom from anxiety. They still hunt, they still forage, they still find food, they still build nests, they still feed their young, they still do all those things, they just don't overthink them. And so Jesus holds them up as this wonderful example when he says, and are you not eminently more valuable to your heavenly Father than they are? And his answer is yes, you are. And if God is providing for them, God is so much more so providing for you. Look, he says, keep on looking. Look at the lilies in the field, how they grow and they neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. The flowers are a picture of something beautiful, something unselfconscious and beautiful. They don't think about themselves. They don't really organize themselves. They're just beautiful. How God has made them. And yet their beauty is so temporary, Jesus says. It's not your clothes that make you beautiful. It's because God has made you that you're beautiful. It's the constant teaching of Scripture that you're his work of art, his creation. And that's what makes you beautiful. And that you're not destined for the oven like the grass of the field, but you're destined for heaven. And so it's not just a temporary beauty, it's an eternal beauty that he's invested in you. Yet we worry about what shoes we put on. And so Jesus is trying to draw us out of ourselves again and again. Look, look outside yourself. Look to the birds, look to the flowers. Look around you and see what God has done, does do, and is doing in your life. Now, from there Jesus says, therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? For it's the Gentiles who strive for these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Now notice Jesus' reasoning, his rationale is not, you don't really need this stuff. His rationale is, you do. And God knows you do, and God has every intention of providing it for you. It's a call to trust the providence and grace of God in our lives. No amount of worry can change the fact that God intends to provide for us. No amount of worry can add to the goodness of our life, and no amount of worry can add to the length of our life. In fact, I'm sure the doctors would tell us that it will subtract from the length of our life on this earth. And so Jesus is encouraging us to look at things differently and to look in different places for our encouragement to live a life less worryful. Jesus concludes, strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Worry is often a question of focus. What we spend our time thinking about, what we give our attention to, where we look. And so Jesus says, look at the birds, look at the flowers, and finally look for the kingdom of God. Strive for the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. Look at it, think about it, focus on it. Give time and attention to it. And then let God change the way you look at everything else. Let God take care of everything else. Provide for everything else you need. One commentator puts it like this. He says, while disciples seek the kingdom of God in the front room of their lives, possessions seem to be brought around to the back door and left in the kitchen. I've had that experience almost literally. But perhaps some of you have had it as well, that while you're busy doing what God has called you to do and focusing on the things of his kingdom, somehow you're provided for. God is good to you. People are good to you. And this is part of God's promise to us as we strive for his kingdom and look for his kingdom and focus on his kingdom. To seek God's kingdom is simply to seek God's Christ and his words and his grace and allow them to fill our hearts and minds and shape the way we think. Each and every day. Now, we began with a story of a man who paid someone to do his worrying for him. Don't you wish you had someone like that? Well, you do. And his name is Christ. And he doesn't just carry our sins to the cross, but he carries our afflictions to the cross, which means he carries our worries to the cross as well. And he doesn't just carry our misdeeds to the cross, but he carries our misplaced priorities to the cross as well. He carries all of it, and he dies for all of it. And so we read, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. He wants to carry your burdens. He offers to do your worrying for you. Let him. He offers to be your God, to take those things off your plate, and to leave you with every reason to thank and praise and serve and obey him. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you provide so much for us, so much that on a daily basis we take for granted what we eat and drink and the things we wear, various things that we worry about daily. We pray, Lord, that you would remind us to cast all these worries and cares on you, because you are the one who cares for us. To seek first your kingdom and to trust that everything else we need will be provided along the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.